Five, four, three, two, one.
What's the situation, Captain?
This is Situation Fluxus, a weekly one-hour program focused on jazz and improvised music, news, radio, conversations, and more. Thank you for tuning in to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. I'm your host, Cheryl Kay. Let us dig into the headlines. The Louis Armstrong House Museum has launched their digital guide on Bloomberg Connects, the free arts and culture app. It lets you explore an interactive digital guide to the museum and the life of trumpeter and entertainer Louis Armstrong. The app is available through the Google Store. The four-time Grammy-nominated duo, The Baylor Project, vocalist Gene Baylor and drummer Marcus Baylor, and their artist-owned label, Be a Light, has signed with the record label Motown Gospel. This is the first time that Motown has collaborated with a label in this way, and the first time they have ever signed a jazz artist to the roster. Nouvelle Records has released three previously vinyl-only records: pianist Frank Kimbrough's Meantime, pianist Arun Ortiz's Cuban Nocturne, and guitarist Steve Cardenas's Charlie and Paul. For more information, nouvelle-records.com and nouvellerecords.bandcamp.com. Pianist Armin Danilian performs tomorrow night, Friday, December 17th, at Gateways Inn in Lenox, Massachusetts, with guitarist Jason Ennis. For more information, gatewaysinn.com. This Friday and Saturday night, December 17th and 18th, at the Jazz Forum in Tarrytown, New York, the Bill Charlop Trio performs for two sets. For more information, jazzforumarts.org. And performing during a live stream tonight, December 16th at 7 p.m., is Mark Morganelli and the Jazz Forum All-Stars, featuring holiday jazz from Jazz Forum in Tarrytown, New York. For more information, facebook.com/jazzforumclub. On Saturday, December 18th, the Joshien MG Trio can be heard live streamed from Les Studio Piccolo, part of the Jazz and Raphael Live Cam series. For more information, thepointofsale.com. The Bill Charlop Trio performs at The Egg in Albany, New York on Sunday, December 9th, as part of the American Roots and Branches series. For more information, theegg.org. Guitarist Frank Vignola's Guitar Night with special guest guitarist Cheryl Bailey will be at Birdland Theater inside of Birdland in New York City on Wednesday, December 22nd, with Jimmy Bruno on guitar, Peter Washington on bass, and Ken Smith on drums. For more information, birdlandjazz.com. And now for new releases. Coming out tomorrow, bassist Carlos Henriquez, The South Bronx on Tiger Turn. Other new releases, the group Bodie Heart with Love Rules on Blue Yarn. The single Cloud Jam from the Chicago Experiment on Tiny. Drummer Adam Rudolph's Resonant Bodies on Meta, and harpist Jacqueline Carrod's 17 Days in December on Orenda. All news items have been gathered from various media sources. For the latest updates, contact the source, venue, or business. Remember, I'm just the messenger. You know, I just see things pass by me on emails. I'm like, oh, I'll get to that. So
this is my new pun. This is the winter of my missed content.
I love it. Nice one, Dominique.
Temptation's peach flies out the door. You follow, you find yourself at war. Watch waterfalls of pity roar. You feel the wound, but unlike before, you discover that you'll just be one more person crying. So don't fear if you hear a foreign sound in your ear. It's all right, my heart. I'm only sighing. Disillusioned words like bullets bark as human gods aim for their mark. Make everything from toy guns that spark to flesh-colored Christ that glow in the dark. It's easy to see without looking too far that not much is really sacred.
My guests are vocalist, composer, and New England Conservatory educator Dominique Eade and vocalist Darren Dean, a graduate of NEC and currently a student at the Herbie Hancock Institute of Jazz Performance. So I'd like to thank you both for joining me on Situation Fluxus.
Great to be here, Cheryl. Thank you.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Yeah. Darren, what brought you to the New England Conservatory and eventually Dominique?
Oh my God. I felt like one of the college advices that I got when I was applying in high school was wherever you go, you not only want to make sure the school is like that you like it, but you want to make sure the school really likes you back. And I, you know, traveled and did the whole like auditioning at every place, UNT, Miami, and not like they're a great school, not coming from them. But I really felt a special connection with NEC. And I was looking online, you know, kind of seeing like who's on vocal staff. And I saw this video of Dominique doing yoga, kind of a little bit of Tai Chi with a former student, Michael Mayo, who I adore. And I was like, wow, this is super, super cool, because I also felt a lot of reservations for like studying jazz formally in a way, like if I chose a teacher, would they try to change my voice or change my sound or say like, this is how you should do jazz. And so when I went to audition and I went there, and it was a small school and I just felt like very intimate. It wasn't as big as Berkeley, because I was also considering that. I was like, and Dominique was amazing. It's like, we could do, like, it was just perfect. And I just like felt in my heart, like, this is where I should be. Like, mm-hmm. It was just like an energy kind of thing. You see Dominique and the school and everything.
And what year did you start?
So I started in 2015.
And you ended?
In 2019, right before the panty.
The panty started. As in pandemic, got it. Dominique. As a singer, what are some basic concepts of musicianship that you impress upon student vocalists?
I think the most important thing that I can help young musicians with, whether they're vocalists or instrumentalists, is to trust process and allow yourself to dig deep into things. So part of what I'm doing, whether I'm working on vocal technique or composition or ear training, is to demonstrate to students what it looks like to unpack the questions and investigate them. Because I think, you know, understandably, people want they want a quick answer to things. But what I find is that if people have a process for learning and allowing themselves to go deeply into things, they are, as Darren has said before, lifelong learners. And I've seen the students at NEC, definitely my vocal students that have graduated, because I've been on faculty a long time now, so I've got to see them constantly reinvent themselves, not just come out of school with a little checklist of technical or musical skills that they can do, but actually a deeper toolkit where they can actually work with Yo-Yo Ma or learn to play the bass or archive, you know, music. And, you know, it's just really exciting to see how the depth of musicianship really, really affects the long trajectory of these artists.
Yeah. Danny, with what you're doing right now, do you hear Dominique's voice in the background with meaningful and helpful advice, like what she was just saying?
I'm so thankful and grateful for Dominique. It's sometimes you don't realize what you have until you take a step back and you get to now have to use a toolbox that you like, once you're in the toolbox, you know, I'm like, oh no. And then you're like, oh, okay, now I have my toolbox. And yeah, I do. I hear it mostly. And I think this goes to say with all of my teachers, especially, like, I hear them most when I teach somebody else. Mm. And that's when it comes to, I'm like, oh my God, I'm literally telling them the same thing she told me. Which is always like I'm like, am I myself or am I, you know, this amoeba that is like, I'm Dominique now, or I'm this person.
what a compliment, Dominique, huh?
Definitely.
But most of all, I will say personally, like outside of the teaching context, like absolutely, I still like when I feel like with foundation, that's something that never goes away. So I feel like Dominique was definitely a part of a really great foundation for me. And I practice and do what I learned like every day in different situations in some way or another. So, yeah.
When did you start to recognize transitioning from a student to a colleague of Dominique's?
It's always a weird thing. Like, I feel like I'll always be Dominique, like in my mind, like, and I don't know if it's just like a kind of like elder, like wise and also like student teacher. That's because that is what it was for so long in college. I feel like as I establish myself as a professional, like there's a deep admiration and also, I see more of her, Dominique. I'm like talking about Dominique, it's like she's not here, but I see it more so like, you know, a friend, a confidant, a musical person I can always run to and like lean on in a way. And you may get that in with your colleagues, or so to speak. Sometimes they're more working relationships, but I think within the breadth of what it's developed, I really feel like a more connected relationship that kind of even expands outside of like the colleague or like working musician. It's like, oh, Dominique is someone who I'll always have as a person who I can lean to and go to.
And Dominique, I'll ask you the same question in a different way. When did you see her start to transition from student to colleague?
You know, that's an interesting distinction. I'm not sure I really make, because part of what I feel how I'm able to connect with students and certainly with Darren is just to see them as a person, as a whole person. Doesn't matter what point they are at. I mean, when Darren came to NEC, I mean, I went to bat to have her come to NEC because she was already phenomenal and I thought it would be a great fit. So I just hear music, you know, I just hear music and the person doesn't have to be fully realized in all that they can do, because, you know, we never are, I'm not, but it's really, I mean, for instance, now Darren is at the Herbie Hancock Institute for Jazz, and that's an incredible accomplishment. She's done all kinds of great performances and won awards. And, you know, I'm just in her court for all that stuff. I'm just so proud of her and so happy for her. And I don't really make that distinction. I mean, I do actually feel, though, that if someone's my student and they need me at any point, they got me. Yeah. So I can always revert to that and be that for them no matter what. But that's a smaller box of, that really is not the where the whole relationship ever lived, I think. Mm-hmm. We just love music, you know? It's like exciting and passionate and like, yeah. You know, people are, you know, like expressing themselves and discovering things about jazz and singing and creativity. It's just, you know, it's infectious.
Well, stick with me here, Dominique. I want to ask you about vocal technique and mm-hmm. what's the vocal technique or style that new students are coming to you with now that you didn't encounter when you first began teaching?
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. So I think a lot of it, I mean, in my time of my quest to understand the voice as an artistic instrument and also just the physics of the voice, really, of producing sound. So much has changed in our understanding of the voice in the 30 plus years that I've been teaching and investigating it on my own. So I was always hungry for technique. You know, I would try to sing with a study when I was Darren's age with a classical teacher, and they would say, you know, it's unhealthy if you don't use vibrato. And then I go, well, like people on the whole continent of India sing really, really well, and they don't use vibrato. Maybe that's not quite right. So I've always been trying to parse these differences between aesthetics, which are valid and real and important in the art form, and what's really possible. And so it's an ongoing quest for me. And I'm just really happy to be able to help students get that those resources and that information so that they can sing any number of ways that they want to sing. I don't really impose a style on people. I don't think it's my place. When I'm talking about an aesthetic, I say this is my aesthetic. Maybe that vocal fry there is a little much, but but you know, it's not my, it's my job is to help them do what they want to do healthily and for as long as they want to do it.
You're such a patient, good woman. I can't stand vocal fry. I can't stand it. And I also, you know, now that Adele is back with her, what is this, her fourth release called 30?
Yes, yeah.
Now, and I haven't heard it. I haven't heard a thing yet, but I know that when she came out with her first three, there were a number of articles that came out about this over singing because she mm-hmm. just belted it out, and she herself had to take a break because she did.
That's right.
Yeah.
She was very upfront about that, which I really think was great.
Yeah.
Hey, but she's not the only one. You know, classical opera singers get vocal injury too. I mean, part of the art is to kind of take it to a slightly an extreme and, you know, have to figure out what's going to work and what isn't. So,
right.
And I think to Dominique's point one, I completely agree. She never imposes vocal aesthetic, which I really appreciate. And then secondly, I also just know that people are speaking differently in our generation. You know, like maybe in like the 50s or the 40s, oh, hello. You know, when you hear Eartha Kitt or when you hear radio, or maybe you hear like Dorothy Dandridge, like they all have different speaking voices and acting voices. And I'm from California. And while I do not buy into all the tropes of like California girls, like, oh, hey, or like very like, yeah, like so I was talking to him it's very like low. It's very close to the fricative, like, yeah, you know, the Kardashians, like people's voices in our generation, I think are not only shaped by not the music we listen to, but how we speak to each other. And that's just something I've observed, especially from going to Boston, from West Coast to the East Coast, you know, pock the cot, hobbit.
I lived in the Boston area for over 41 years and I never caught on to the accent.
I heard it when you said Dorchester. A little.
Yeah. Me too. I heard it in the podcast.
This was prior to the show, folks, but...
Not on air.
But Darren, that's such an interesting point because that's true that like if you're singing music where you want to have a persona which doesn't sound affected, the speaking modalities of the day are something that maybe you need, you have to address in some way. So it's a really good point.
Yeah. All right, to the both of you, who are you listening to as far as vocalists, and what qualities in their singing do you like?
Well, I'll start first just by people who just came across my path in the last couple of weeks. On Friday night, I went to hear a former student, Sarah Jarose, perform, and not a jazz vocalist, but Americana. She's won a Grammy for, I think, twice for Best Americana Record. It was just a delight to hear her sing. So that's in my ears. And then just prior to that, at NEC, we had Cecile McLaurin-Salvant as our guest resident the week before last. And wow, she worked with all the singers and did a master class and then coachings with individual singers. And then in our big concert in Jordan Hall, she performed two pieces, and she actually went off script and performed Spoonful. Yeah. And it was with a student ensemble. She was riveting. And she sang Lush Life also, which was amazing. But both those things are right in my ear. I think she's phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, Cecile has been, someone gave me, when I was in high school, maybe I was just getting into high school, they gave me Cecile's like mixtape, one of her first mixtape, and she had like Moody's Mood for Love on there. It was like, it didn't even have like a picture of it on. They're like, here, I think you would really like her. And I just remember like falling in love with her immediately. And this was even before she did the Thelonious Monk competition. Formerly Thelonious Monk. And so she's always been in my ear. I really feel connected. There's some artists I feel connected to. One, the songs that she put on her album, or the songs that she was doing, or songs that I really like, or the songs that I would do. And it was just like, oh, that's really cool. Like she listens to so much more outside of jazz. I think which is amazing. And she's a great artist. Embroiderer. She does
needle. Yeah.
Cool.
Really?
Amazing stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I've really been listening to lately. I've checked out Samira Joy. I think she's great.
She's great.
Up and coming jazz singer. She has a really amazing voice, and I love it. I love it. I love it. I really like, I was listening to Jason Moran. I've been listening to like a lot of R&B lately. A couple of different artists kind of coming up. We just had a listening session with my friend. I was listening to Free Nationals, Beauty and Essex, Daniel Caesar, Michael Mayo. So I'm diversifying my ears, and it's nice. And what I Yeba, she's a dope singer.
Elliot, who's that?
Yeba. Yep. Yeah, she did. She was on PJ Morton's Gumbo, PJ Morton 2, JoJo. And she just sing. It's just like, it's just everything. It's just like back and forth. She's just amazing. And she released an album with, I want to say, definitely produced with Mark Ronson. And I believe James Francis is on it. And then Elena Pinderhughes with Terrence Martin. She just release Drones. So I've been checking it all out. And then sometimes I honestly just take a break and I listen to nothing and no one.
So ladies, as we come to the end of this interview, I want to give you both the last word. Something I didn't ask you, something that you would like to say to all of us.
Well, I guess I would like to say, just as from the experience I'm in right now, having been at NEC with Dominique and undergrad and now in a master's program and figuring out, going deeper into my art, one thing I've learned, and I am learning, is that like it literally never stops. And just being around like all of these high level musicians that kind of come in. Herbie Hancock came in for the first time. I was like, oh my God. Like I keep like pinching myself. But what I noticed about being around them is there's just this like exuberance and this childlike nature that keeps them exploring and like for our jazz community, especially to be getting up in age and all of these pioneers getting much older and taking a different position than they once were out on the road so much, or, you know, being on the road, but it's just transitioning to still realize that even though they're older, a lot of ways they're still the same in that exploratory nature. And I think sometimes for me, just, I don't know, sometimes we think, I think, oh, I know this, or, oh, I know that. And now I'm like, oh, I know nothing. Mm-hmm. And so I find like definitely being in school can bring that out of one, just because it is a learning environment. But I think that is something I want to carry with me for the rest of my life intentionally. Mm. And I think that's what I would like to share. And then I would also just like to share how amazing Dominique is and how wonderful she is, and how she really hears students and just supports them on their journey. And I'm so grateful for your support, Dominique, and the things you've taught me, and really how to work with this. And it's been something I'm working on still. And I know I still have a long way to go. I'm grateful for this stone, the stepping stone.
Well, it's so exciting to just hear what you'll be doing. You know, like I was saying, I feel like I hear into, you know, Darren, were you 18 when you came to NEC, or 17?
Probably 18, yeah.
18, just barely. And you know, it's just incredible to think of the whole journey that's ahead. And I think that's true what Darren said. I think, you know, I've been lucky to work with some great jazz players, and they all have kind of a childlike quality. And that's not immaturity, but like just an excitement to learn. And I think that's something really important to remember, just that we can have lots of opinions about music, and we can think, oh, well, this is good or not good, and we should learn this, and we have to be able to do this. But I think especially in this time right now, it's so important to recognize what a powerful mode of communication music is. It's not like another language. It's not, you know, it's like, it is it. And it is such a, it can impart, it can connect with so many parts of the human spirit, you know, which I'm all for the emancipation of the human spirit. And I think music gives us a really great opportunity to connect in ways that we can't in other places. And so don't let the judgments and all the learning, I mean, they're important just in terms of having structure and growing, but like, you know, the solace, the vision, all of the things that you get from listening to music, go direct, stay directly connected.
That in the face of impossible odds, people who love their country can change it.
For more information, DominiqueEade.com, and Darren, that's Darynn Dean.com. And for the New England Conservatory of Music in Boston, Massachusetts, necmusic.edu.
These three kings so glorious are, bearing gifts they traveled so far, told the people all are equal, follow the promised star.
And now for some music.
Mm-hmm. I want to write an image. Like a log cabin quilt pattern. And stretch it across all the lonely people who just don't fit in. We might make a world if I do that. I want to boil a stew with all the leftover folk whose bodies are full of empty lives. We might feed a world if I do that. Twice in our lives, we need direction. When we're young and innocent, when we're old and cynical. But since the old refused to discipline us, we now refuse to discipline them, which is a contemptuous way for us to respond to each other. I should imagine if nature holds true, one day we'll lose our hands, since we do no work nor make any love. If nature is true, we shall lose our eyes, since we cannot even now distinguish the good from the evil. I should imagine we shall lose our souls, since we have so blatantly put them up for sale and glutted the marketplace, thereby depressing the price. I wonder why we don't love. Not some people way on the other side of the world with strange customs and habits, not some folk from whom we were sold hundreds of years ago, but people who look like us, who think like us, who want to love us. Why don't we love them? I want to make a quilt of all the patches and find one long, strong pole to lift it up. I have a mind to build a new world. Want to play?
Just listen to the spiritual Wade in the Water from the soon-to-be-available release The Gospel According to Nikki Giovanni by tenor saxophonist Javon Jackson. He asked the renowned poet, activist, and educator Giovanni, after a speaking engagement at the Hart School at the University of Hartford, where he teaches, if she would choose 10 hymns that would become his next recording. And she did. Accompanying Jackson and Giovanni were pianist Jeremy Manassia, bassist David Williams, and drummer McClenty Hunter. The release comes out on Jackson's Solid Jackson label on February 18, 2022. You're listening to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm your host, Cheryl Kay. Please send your comments, quips, and anecdotes, as well as feedback to thejazzdisturbance@gmail.com, info@wgxc.org, feedback@wgxc.org, or leave a 3-minute message at area code 518-291-WGXC. Our website is wgxc.org. My interview is with radio programmer Coco, who hosts Coco Jazz at CKVL 100.1 FM in Montreal, Canada. She also hosts a bilingual podcast via jazzcast.ca in Toronto, Canada, and Coco Jazz en France via radiosimnose.com. Well, thank you so much for joining me here on Situation Fluxus.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm so honored. Thank you, Cheryl. It's really cool.
Yes. You have a Saturday night slot on CKVL hosting Coco Jazz. Tell us how Coco Jazz and your other programs come to the airwaves every week. And what I mean by that is, how do you prep and create a show? I start programming the next show the minute the last one has ended.
Yes. Well, sometimes there's a few shows already getting ready, you know, for the month, because there's at least one show a week or two, mm-hmm. or sometimes three, depending where the show will be going. So I prepare, I have on my iTunes, I do playlists. And according to what music I receive or artists that solicitate me and they send me their music, then I tell them, okay, I'm going to play you this week or that week. So I have to, you know, start preparing my playlist so that I don't forget them, because there's a lot of emails coming in.
I know it. Yes. So you prep for three different shows.
Well, yes. So I do for CKVL FM, which is in Montreal. This is on French radio. It's a French community radio. Then I have jazzcast.ca, which is in Toronto. So that's an English show, but I do a bilingual show with them. And then once a month, I go to France to Radio Semnoz, which is, that's easier because it's only half an hour. I say it's easier, but it's hard to try to integrate the 3-4 songs, you know, jazz. It takes, you know, sometimes 8, 9, 10 minutes a song. So, you know, I try to make it short for them. And I give them in France, Quebecois content. I make the Canadian shine in France, or the Quebec, which is the Quebec. I start with the Quebec people and then I move on.
So you're programming different shows for different people. What yes. are your, what are your programming approaches to each show?
Well, it most of the times it's the new jazz, all the nouveautés. And I like the young and upcoming also. So I love giving them a chance. If they send me their things, for sure, I'm going to be playing it and mentioning it. Mm. The only difference is that for CKVL, since the show goes across Canada on the community, French community radio, it has to be intemporel. So I can't start saying, there's a show or the album up. I mean, I can mention that the album release is coming next week or something, but I can't be too specific on the venues and
yes.
the date, the concert dates.
So you really cannot cross promote.
No.
Yeah.
Yes. No, because when I send my show to LARC, which is the Association of Community Radio, when they pick it up, it doesn't mean they're going to be playing it next week. They can play it in 2 weeks or something. So it has to be homogène, you know?
And what does that mean?
Well, meaning that it has to flow with whatever they're doing also and not have a date that's passed already. So intemporel.
Some days I feel a pull at my loyalties between my listeners and the artists, where I'll be preparing for my show and debate if I should play a selection by an artist because they need and deserve the airtime, or play a selection that will really wow my listeners. So what I'm saying is the struggle is real, you know, trying to yes. balance who to play for. And so when you have these internal struggles, how do you resolve them?
Yes. Well, I try to start the show with a broader, easier jazz for everybody. And once they're hooked in, this is when I give them the the hard stuff. You know, I get the saxophone going, and some of them will call it cacophony, but yes, I lure them in with the vocal jazz. I lure them in, and then I give it to them. Towards the end of the show, it has nothing to do like at the beginning, the 2-hour show. Yeah. Don't tell them.
Never. I'm good at that. I keep all the secrets here.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Cheryl.
at the stations that you program at, are any of them all jazz?
No, not no. at all.
So how do you fit no. in, or how do you feel that you fit in?
Well, they have different programming at different hours. I mean, you know, it could be a politics or musique du monde, world music, or just the regular pop music. So at night, they want a jazz show, so they take my Coco Jazz. So they insert that in their programming.
So they take you as you are. You yes. don't program for them. They, no. yeah, they make exactly. you understood. Yes. That's sweet.
Yeah, the only thing, like I said, is that they don't want dates.
They don't
concert
want
dates.
Yes.
But yes, they take whatever. I'm totally by myself. I produce, I do the whole thing, and they don't say anything about it. They enjoy it, in fact.
I'll ask you from one programmer to another, how do you feel about the growth of downloads compared to, you know, back in the day it was all CDs?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's quite interesting because obviously we get to have them faster. The only thing is that I'm very tactile, so I enjoy having the CD in my hands or the vinyl and reading the fine prints and everything. But in general, I'm getting used to it, and I work my way around, and I I upgraded my Mac for that, and I have lots of memory, you know, slots. And yes, but yeah, but I like getting CDs, as you can see here.
Yes.
Yeah, I find that there's when it's a download, you don't have as much information as you would like. It depends. Some labels, they will give you a lot of information, but some of them you have to go fishing, and or some artists that are not on top of their games, they just send you, you know, an MP3 or a wave, and it's like, okay, what about the title? What is it? Who's playing with you?
Yes, get a publicist, please.
Yes, exactly.
Let me switch gears for a minute to another part of who you are, because I saw this in the email that you sent me. What's your affiliation with Uni Musique?
Yes, Uni Musique is it's a new record label here in Quebec. And it's owned by Amy R. Roussel, which is a pianist, a Quebecois pianist. So she created that with the trio. They created their own label. And at the same time, there's an annex to it, which is booking. So we have a few artists who we do booking for. So I also do some booking. Ugh, I'm an agent. Wonderful.
You're an agent.
Yeah, a bit, not much. I used to do more, but I downsized on that, but yes.
I find it thrilling. I love it when artists start their own labels, you know, and mm-hmm. and coming up with their own ideas and picking their own artists and creating this world around them.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Oh. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's good for them. Creativity.
All the time. Yes. So let me ask you this. As we are into the last week of programming at Jazz Radio, what releases are you eager to play?
Okay, well, we have to play Christmas and holiday music.
But any particular artist?
Any particular ones? Well, I have here a folder, my download folder, which I have not yet cleaned up in a few weeks. But obviously, I'm looking here, Fred Hurst. Okay, lately he was always solo, nice and quiet. Here he is. I'm amazed. His new album is called Breath, Breath, and he has a quatuor accord. He has strings with him, so I love that. There's I have here Jonathan Blake,
the drummer.
Yes, I
saw. That's a fabulous release.
Exactly. Then I obviously have, I say obviously, but I do have European, I love European jazz, and I do have lots of albums coming from Europe. And I have this amazing drummer called Florian Arbenz. I love what he does. So he sent me 3 albums. So, you know, it takes time. You have to listen.
Yep.
So yeah, I'm going to be putting that in. You know, there, I don't know, I could go on and on. There's so many. I love Sean Kahn. He's a saxophonist. He's in New York. Jazz vocal, we have Kelly Lee Evans here in Ontario. She just released a EP, a small album. So I played a few of that, but which I'm going to play some more. You want more?
Oh, no, that's good. So as we come to the end of this interview, really, yes. Is there something that I haven't asked you, something that you'd like to say to us?
I don't know. You didn't ask about improvisation music.
Well, there you have it. Tell us. Lay it on us.
Yes, and why I like improvisation music or spontaneity. It's hard to say. Spontaneity in French, spontaneity. I like, obviously you have to go see a show to be able to enjoy improv music, jazz improv I'm talking about here. I like the fact that, you know, it's like a surprise every time. And it sometimes it's fun to see the musician, him or her, themselves being surprised at what they're doing, what they're giving to us, you know. So I think it's really cool. So I love improv jazz.
When's the last show you went to?
Well, I saw one last night on the web. Mm-hmm. There's a jazz festival happening here at the moment called the Chef de Jazz, Chef in French. So it's all women jazz festival. And it's happening in a studio called Piccolo Studio. So it's cool. So you go into the studio and it's a small area. It's like you're 30 people and you're enjoying the show in front of you. And the last one that I went, I was present, was with Christine Jensen. And she has this new, well, from the pandemic, she created a lot of music. So she was giving us, she was performing her new songs for us, which were amazing. Oh, I was so thrilled. So I think it's going to be called Quintessence, something like that. So I'm looking forward to that album from her. She's amazing. Very wonderful. Nice. Yes. Trying to make space for women in jazz. I think it's very important.
I think it's very important too. Okay. And I think it's very important that they have women behind the mic.
Oh, yes. Yes. It's true.
For more information, facebook.com/cocojazz.mtl. Thank you for tuning in to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears. I've been your host, Cheryl Kay. Tune in next Thursday at 10 a.m. for another show. I also host The Jazz Disturbance on the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 5th Sunday of each month from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. To contact us about Situation Fluxus, thejazzdisturbance@gmail.com or info@wgxc.org. We appreciate your feedback. feedback@wgxc.org or leave a 3-minute message at area code 518-291-WGXC. Thank you. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.